We're going to start talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. I don't know what exactly we might call this. Start with a refresher. We need to be stirred up again. Isn't that true? You never get so advanced that you don't need to review the basics. So let's start at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. I suppose we can toss in verse 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Let's stop there for a second. In the beginning, whenever that was, God created everything. If we were to read a bunch of this account of creation, you could see that he would take a step, create a part, and he would say, and he saw that it was good. Could you accept that anything God does is good? It's just who he is and his nature. And if God does a thing, he does it well. Yes?
Yes.
Here it says the earth was without form and void. If you go back in the Hebrew words, tohu and bohu, and basically between the two of them, it describes chaos, utter destruction, just totally and completely void, empty. That doesn't sound like anything God created. And here's where what is called the gap theory comes in. The idea that God created all the heavens and the earth and they were good, and then something happened and formed a void, a wasteland, brought chaos on the face of the earth. Now, if you know a little of geological history, you can just look up and see the moon and see it's full of craters and holes. We know objects in space have struck the moon. So one can imagine that there have been events or an event that, as far as the earth is concerned, worldwide caused utter destruction and chaos. Sometimes people refer to die-offs. There's fossil record of dinosaurs, and something catastrophic happened, and seems like suddenly dinosaurs were just gone. So it wouldn't be real hard to imagine that God created the earth, and it was beautiful and wonderful. Destruction came on the earth, and it became without form. It became void. It became chaos and utter destruction. And then when we read the further verses, and God said, let there be light, and God said, you might consider that the reconstruction or the reordering or the reorganizing of the earth, bringing things back together. I think there's a good share of evidence that would support that what we read as the creation of the earth is actually the description of the recreation of the earth. One other clue that you can find if you'll dig it out a little bit, when God tells Adam to fill the earth, it's the same word that is told to Noah after the flood, and the word is actually replenish the earth. To replenish means it was once plenished and needs to be replenished. I submit it to you to think about as possibility, but I'm not standing here to say it absolutely was this way. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that the earth was a mess. Disorganization, if you will. Even life that's in our human bodies, the act of killing a living thing is nothing more than disorganizing it. There is an extreme level of organization inside of a living body. The body is such a chemistry factory that, you know, I've heard it postulated that it would take a chemical plant larger than exists anywhere on the earth to begin to duplicate all the chemical processes that happen in a body. And you know, when those are slightly disorganized, we're sick. When we get cut, and let's say it strikes an artery, a cut with an artery, you have disorganized a system. You've created chaos. And if the injury is severe enough of the blood leaves quickly enough, life can't continue. So many of these things are simply disorganize it. When you were kids and you'd play board games with other kids, and there's always that one that either cheated or got upset when he was losing bad, that kind of thing. And every once in a while, somebody gets so mad that they'll take the game board and just flip it. They just destroyed the game by disorganizing the pieces, right? Somebody flipped the earth. So the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. At this time of chaos, destruction, everything in disorder, this time when something had destroyed, the Spirit of God was hovering above. Why did we go to this scripture this morning? Because I want you to know that the Spirit of God, at least from this point on, has been hovering above the earth. The Spirit of God has been present and available on the earth. So I think everybody can figure that out. Who is the destroyer? Other scriptures say Lucifer was cast down to earth. He's the bad boy that flipped the game board and wreaked havoc upon what God had created. And you can find, I believe in Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, you can find further descriptions of some of these things that help us kind of put the pieces together. But Satan is the destroyer, and I believe undoubtedly responsible for this without form and void, this tohu and bohu, chaos, wasteland that the earth was. I submit to you, if you disagree with me, that's okay. I won't disfellowship with you at all. But I submit to you that Satan, after he fell, I submit to you that Satan was cast down to earth, as it describes in our Bibles, and he destroyed life, destroyed what God had created, at least to a point. So knowing him generally, he is the destroyer. Can you agree with that? Satan is the destroyer. He destroys the order of God wherever he finds it. In the macro, the big scale, the earth, the universe, and on the micro scale as well. A living person or an animal or something like that, all it takes is a little disorganization and death comes. Sometimes people say a phrase like brain scrambled. You disorganize a brain and life stops. He is the destroyer. So in that second verse, we had the destroyer and the Spirit of God. In a time of great destruction, Genesis 1:2, the earth without form and void, in that time of great destruction, the Spirit of God was present and ready. It may have seemed like a hopeless time, but the Spirit of God was there, hovering over the face of the waters. In a time and place of destruction and utter chaos, the Spirit was there in a time, even our time, of destruction and chaos. Here's the point today. The Spirit of God is here. And if the Spirit of God was the participant in bringing back order to what had been destroyed, the Spirit of God is present today to bring back order to what's being destroyed. The enemy has done some work in all of our lives. He's been a destroyer, even so far as prematurely taking lives away from people that we know and love. That's the destroyer. The Spirit of God that was part of reorganizing the earth is the same Spirit of God that is here today that can reorganize in our lives again today. Amen. Let's go to the last book. We were in the first. Let's go to the last book, Revelation 9 and verse 11. Just looking at destroyer. Just look up that word destroyer in the Bible, and you'll see a lot about the destroyer. For instance, the angel that went through Egypt and took the lives of the firstborn, he's called the destroyer. And when it says angel or messenger, suggests the idea that that destroyer that went through Egypt and saw the blood or didn't? Was it an angel of God or was it Lucifer himself? And I have to study that out some more before I would make some sort of an opinion on that. But anyway, Revelation 9:11 says this, after talking about plagues on the earth and so on, after talking about scorpions, they were like scorpions, beings like scorpions, who with their tail could sting and you know, all kind of wild and dangerous and crazy things going on. It says in Revelation 9:11, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Two different languages for the same word, the same name. That Hebrew word Abaddon, that name, literally is destroyer. Satan is the destroyer. Lucifer is the destroyer. And we know, Revelation describes this, he's loose upon the earth, and the time is coming where an angel will wrap him up and take him captive, and he will be put away in the bottomless pit, as is mentioned right here. And by the way, that will be for 1,000 years, and he will be loosed on the earth again. Why? To demonstrate, it's kind of like play tic-tac-toe with somebody, and you lose, and you say, okay, 2 out of 3, right? Give him a second and third chance, and again, the Lord will show that he is the loser. 1,000-year reign of Christ, he's loosed from the bottomless pit. Shall we use the phrase, all hell breaks loose on earth? And then he's defeated again. Best 2 out of 3. No, best 3 out of 5. Over and over and over, Lucifer, the destroyer, Abaddon, is defeated. Amen. Well, we went to this scripture for you to see this. His name is literally destroyer. Destroyer, sometimes it takes just a little action to destroy. Those who know how to do it can disrupt function in a body and kill someone very easily and with very little work. If you know where to cut someone, a very small cut can take their life. A small thing can be a great destroyer, and he is the destroyer. The destroyer has done his work in all of our lives. And what we're getting at is when something needs to be reorganized, put back together, shall we say recreated, even like the earth, the Spirit of God is hovering just above and ready to go to work. Amen. The reorganization, the recreation, if you will, the ordering of the earth as we understand it in present form today was done by the Spirit of God. Now, we won't take the time to do it, but you do your research, you kind of find out God speaks it. The Holy Spirit is the power, or Jesus directs it, and the Holy Spirit is the agent, the power on the earth that actually does the work. And that hasn't changed, by the way. God speaks. Jesus orders and starts getting things done, and the Spirit is the power on the earth that causes these things to be done and to happen. He is the power. Amen. Throughout all ages of human history, as we know humans at least, since Adam, the destroyer has been working to disrupt and tear apart the order of God. When Adam was created in perfect order, given the Garden of Eden, it's in perfect order. God gives one single instruction, don't partake of this, so that Adam would demonstrate his loyalty and obedience. All the enemy had to do, all the destroyer had to do, is get Adam and Eve, to disobey that one little thing. And look what was loosed upon mankind. Satan, the destroyer, looks for any and every opportunity wherever he can to disrupt order. Applying this a little bit, I'll touch on it and hopefully just move on here. But we live in a time, including in the United States, where there's a great amount of destroying taking place. The destroyer wants to disrupt the order of God. And why does he want to do it? Because God put it together. He doesn't need any more motivation than that. If God says it's this way, he will, like he would with Eve, has God really said you should not eat it? He's tricking you, because he knows when you eat it, you're going to be like him. So wherever there is order of God, he disrupts that order, does what he can. But in our culture and society today, I'll show just one to you, the nuclear family. Father, mother, husband, wife, and children. He's the destroyer of families. Among the attacks are this. Take the, what do you want to call it, the institution of fatherhood and set it aside, push it out. Not necessary. Men aren't necessary, all that kind of thing. There's skyrocketing crime and all kinds of things that can be attributed to fatherlessness. Right now, one of the most despised persons on the earth in a lot of people's eyes is men. When he takes a man and destroys a family, he destroys children and he destroys generations. If you look at any writings and studies on our societal health and so on, we have a terrible culture today of fatherlessness, and there's so many problems and troubles with that. And it goes on and on and on and on too. That wasn't enough. Now it says in Genesis, male and female, he created them a number of times. Well, the destroyer sees that and says, I'm going to mess that all up. And so a little bit of destruction in people can't even say what's male or what's a man and what's a woman. This week in the Olympics, stupid stuff. Letting a couple of guys in the women's boxing matches. First one, poor lady that had to box this guy. She lasted 46 seconds, throws her helmet down and screams out, this isn't right, or something like that. And then in interviews later said she's never been punched so hard in her life. Now this would be biologically a male, says as a woman, I don't know what treatments or whatever that they have. To look at the picture, I mean, I didn't see the face, just saw the arm. Yeah. And I go, that's a man's arm. Said she's never been punched so hard in her life. And feared she was going to be injured and just simply quit, just walked out. This is the work of the destroyer, creating this confusion and division. There is an order of God. There is a male and female. There is a father and mother. There are things that are the order of God. The enemy has found all kinds of people willing to become destroyers with him. One, I think in the Psalms, one of them that talks about he who does certain things is akin or a brother to the destroyer. The destroyer has found a lot of cooperative people in our culture and society today. I detest the wranglings of politics. You know, the fighting, the division, the people hating one another. All of that, I detest all of that, the lying, all of these kinds of things. However, I must protect and rebuild the order of God. That's the work of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God in me will cause me to stand up and say, the Father needs to be in the home. And any policy that encourages otherwise, and we do have government policy that destroys, I must enter into politics in a measure to be an agent of defending the order of God. It's kind of what I'm doing this morning, saying no dudes are punching the women. That's the destroyer, and it's wrong. And so while we, some people really relish politics and so on, I detest part of it. And yes, it can seem very divisive and all of that, but we as believers and Christians, we are called to defend the order of God. And when something destroys and is out of order, we may need to participate in politics to help that along. Our vote really, really matters. And you can pick about any issue, hot button topic and so on that's in politics today and view it this way. which side is the destroyer and which side is attempting to preserve what you might call the order of God. Now, there may be some things that you would say, well, I don't know if that's the order of God. Well, that's the way culture and society was, but your politics, who you vote for, should be what is the order of God, and I support that, not the destroyer. So it is the Spirit of God. I hope that little side journey was okay. The Spirit of God performs the Word of God. What does He do? He performs. He's the power for the Word of God. When we say things like there's power in prayer, what we mean or what we should mean is when we pray and say the Word of God, the power of the Spirit of God goes into action. So the Spirit of God performs the Word of God. He manifests and does the work, and He does it with power. Jesus even talked about His miracles and said, I don't do the works. He said, the Father in Him. It's a way of, the Spirit of God was a foreign concept at the time of Jesus, and He starts introducing that toward the end of His ministry. He said, it's the Father who works in me. We would understand that, I think, a little better. It's the Spirit of God. When we talk about the anointing, it's the presence of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. When someone lays hands on another person, it's faith in the Word, it's speaking the Word, but it's the Spirit of God and perhaps angels under the direction of the Spirit of God. That is the power that goes into the body and does the work. So if we were to pray for someone, lay hands on someone, and they receive a healing, it wouldn't be us, would it? It's the power of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God always and only responds to the Word of God. Jesus even talked about not of His own authority. It was the authority of the Word that He relied on. So it's the same with us. The Spirit of God is the power source. He's the one that will go to work, and He will do the Word of God. Amen. Just like when the earth was put into chaos and destruction, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God is present today to reorganize and put in order anything that the destroyer touches. If the destroyer has visited a part of your life, the destroyer has visited your body, the destroyer has visited your marriage and relationships with children, if the destroyer has visited your financial life, the Spirit of God is present and available to reorganize, to recreate, to go into action. He is the power. He was present back then, and He's present today. That's our main point today. The Spirit of God is present and ready for you. Amen. So let's go to John 16:13. All of humanity has bad things happen, and they go, why? When you have something bad happen to you, it's so easy to say, why? And that's a dangerous question, because what Lucifer, Satan, the enemy did with Eve was get her questioning. And that's always his opening salvo, maybe that is the word, his opening attack is get you questioning. And when something happens, you go, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Gets you questioning. Need to be able to withstand that attack. He's destroying. He's the destroyer. The Spirit of God is there to answer. But, of course, faith can continue even when you don't know the answer. There's things that have happened in our lives I don't know the answer for. Why or how? I don't know. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, He's the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, in some cases, some people want to live any old way they want to live. Okay, that's their business. They can do that. But they cannot say that they're living truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And through the Word and through His witness, He will reveal and bear witness of truth. Jesus speaking says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. What's wrong with some movements in our country today is they're not truth. And this thing about, well, that may be your truth, but it's not my truth. Truth is not subjective. I used to use mathematics as an example. You know, 2 + 2 will always be 4. But even in mathematics, there are efforts underway in our educational system to have different kinds of math. Well, 2 + 2 = 4 is your truth, but someone perhaps less privileged comes up with a different answer, and that's their truth. There's one truth. If there isn't one truth, then it's not a truth. Amen. I don't know, I guess I'll just jump on this one. He created the male and female, and that's the truth. Amen. Well, that may be your truth. Look, I don't care how somebody else conducts themselves. They want to force me to say that's a truth. It's not a truth. It's the work of the destroyer. And sometimes people don't realize their lives are being destroyed. Sometimes they do. But he's the spirit of truth. And he will guide you into all truth. And surely the answer for whatever we're facing starts with knowing the truth. And when you need to know what's the truth here, there is a guide available to bring you into truth. And he is present. And wherever the destroyer has gone and done untruths, the spirit of truth can reorganize that and bring it back in line with the truth. Reading on, it says, "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." Do you realize what an advantage that is to know what's coming? If you know what's coming, you can prepare for it. If you know what's coming and it seems like there's chaos and destruction, you can kind of be, I don't care about that. I know what's coming. And even all the mess that's on the earth, in the end, you read the book of Revelation, you know what's coming. Amen. He tells us things to come. So he guides us into truth, and he tells us what is to come. Said another way, he's the revealer of things to come. There's a move of God coming. How do I know this? The revealer of truth keeps saying to me, keeps bearing witness in my heart, there's a move of God coming. There is a move of God coming. Do I see the beginning of it? I don't know that I do. But there's a move of God coming. Amen. And knowing that is one of the reasons when there's opposition and there's obstacles and there's work of the destroyer in churches, in our church, when there's someone putting a hold on our forward progress, something putting a hold on our forward progress, sometimes taking people out, separating them, I know there's a move of God coming, and it keeps me going. I'm going to be here for that move of God, and I'm going to be ready for that move of God. And even today, what I'm sharing with you is so that you are reminded of the ministry of the Spirit. So when the Spirit starts moving, we know the truth and we know what's coming and we're ready to move with Him. In our military, they have something called a QRF, Quick Reactionary Force. I want to be on the QRF, ready. When things start moving, I don't want to hear, oh, there's a great move of God coming on, and then try to figure out, how do I get back to where I need to be, get in and be a part of that great move of God. I want to be part of the first charge. Amen. I mean, Jesus told a parable along those lines. 5 women who had oil for their lamps and ready to go, and 5 who had to go begging and catch up. They weren't ready. I want to be ready. So we're going to teach here, I don't know, maybe a few weeks, on the Spirit of God. Why? Putting oil in the lamp. We're buying our oil now. So when the shout goes out, it's time. There's a move of God coming. When that move comes, we are ready. Amen. He will tell you things to come. John 14:16, please. So he's the Spirit of truth, and he's the revealer of things to come. Sounds like somebody good to know. John 14:16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Some translations say comforter. "But another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth." That was already mentioned in Scripture before. "Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." You know, some of the folks believe in all this crazy whatever it is, can't even see the truth. They can't receive the Spirit of truth. They can't know what truth is. That's what deception is believing a lie. And they're passionate about it because it's with all their heart. And they want to measure your passion compared to their passion. Well, I believe my truth just as much as you believe your truth. Yeah, but that doesn't make your truth true. It's not the value or the quality or the quantity of my conviction. That's not what matters. Truth is truth. Opinion is opinion. And it's good to keep them separated. But the world can't receive this. But let's back up a little bit here. He will give you another helper. Oh, there are times in my life I am so glad I have help. You ever feel overwhelmed? Then if you have good people around you, sometimes in your time of being overwhelmed, help shows up. And with help, suddenly it seems a little bit better. And like, maybe we can do this, and maybe we'll get it done. And I am here to testify to you in terms of not just the Spirit of God who is a helper, but people around me help me. And oh, what a difference. Thank God for help. Thank God for helpers. Sometimes folks need help and they don't know how to receive help. They don't know how to sow seed for help. You got to be a helper. Sow seed of help to be helped, at least as far as people are around you. But Jesus said that He would send, the Father would send a helper. Thank God the Spirit of God is present in the time of destruction and chaos, and He's ready to help. I feel like running around the room. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that on the inside. Just knowing I have a helper. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Been through some stuff that if I didn't have the helper, whew, I don't know what. And folks, I love you all, and many of you are help to me. You're great helpers. But when I lay my head down on the pillow at night, I'm alone. And I can feel so far away from people around me. And thank God in that time, I know where the helper is. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't have come through things I've come through. There's no way. There's no way. But for the helper who has come and strengthened me and encouraged me and given me the word. And sometimes it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's just like strength is in His hand. And it just is just put inside me. There have been some people sometimes, I don't know how you do what you do, mostly referring to things we've been through with Pastor Shane. I'll tell you how. I have a helper, and I know how to access Him. And sometimes He just goes, have some strength, son. I know how to ask for help. I know how to stir up the helper. I know He's present and ready. And if I disappear down the drain hole of my thoughts and let them go round and round and round, you know, meditate the wrong way is just like, about to say flushing a toilet, but round and round and round and down you go. I guess I did say flushing a toilet. That's where your thoughts will take you, and that is the destroyer at work, and He plants those thoughts in you. He says, hey, think about this, and think about this, and think about this, and you're swirling. You're going down. Oh, you're swirling faster and faster. Oh, I'm going down. I'm going down. Helper. It's better to catch it early. Better to prevent it from ever starting, right? I have a helper. I have a helper. I have a helper. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited about that today. Thank God I have a helper. Woo! And I've come through tough stuff, and I've come through victoriously, and I'm going to come through anything the destroyer throws at me. Why? Because I have a helper. Notice this, though, while we're here, He's the helper, not the doer. God, you better do something here. He will help you, not do for you. How does He do that? Well, you may need to grab hold of a thought and say, no, wait a minute. That's a wrong thought. Lord, help me. And say something like, God, you supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if I will start down that road, He will help me. And I'll release faith and I'll speak the word and it starts changing me. And then I'll have another one and another one and another one. He helps me. He reminds me. But if I won't help myself, if I won't access Him, if I won't get a hold of that thought and turn to God for help, He's the helper, not the doer. He's present and ready in the time of destruction to recreate order. He can only help us order our world. I started telling the congregation, I need to go in my closet and clean that thing out. There was chaos in the closet, and it needs to be reordered. We got more clothes that we got to start. Started with that, and you know, and other things, and kind of let everything go. You get in a bad mental state when there's chaos around you, and the destroyer tries to create chaos around you, and you've got to get that reorganized. Get yourself together. It's not just you pulling yourself up, and it's not just the Spirit of God fixing it for you. But it is you and I, first of all, just saying, this is the work of the destroyer, this shouldn't be. I'm not going to do this anymore. And start somewhere. Did this one time, you know, I kept looking at a drawer in my dresser. Before the closet was the dresser. And I thought, I pulled open that drawer and go, whew, a lot of chaos in here, right? Top drawer of my dresser. And so this may sound pathetic to you, but maybe you've been there too. I prayed for a week about that drawer. Seriously, Lord, I need to do that drawer. I'm going to do that. Give me the strength I need to organize the drawer. Does that sound pathetic or what? No, have you been there? Have you got one of the drawers? But seriously, I prayed for strength to do that drawer for a week. And then finally, the day came, the night came, and I went up there and I said, there's more white t-shirts in this drawer than any one man could wear in a lifetime. Took that drawer out, dumped it on the bed, all these white t-shirts, and I said, you know, honestly, I don't wear them very often, maybe with a suit, especially winter. The most I could possibly need is if I go to, say, Pastor Nancy's for a meeting or something like that. I'll be there 4 days, maybe 5 days. The most I could possibly need would be 5 good white t-shirts. So I thought, I'm going to go through and find the best 5. Everything else is going to go. And I got it down to 10, and I couldn't get any lower than 10. And then finally another day or two, and I got it down to 5. But on that particular night anyway, top drawer is white t-shirts, socks, handkerchiefs. I poured that out, started going through it, got a box, going to donate all these t-shirts, and I did the top drawer. And I go, huh, that didn't take long. It's kind of easy. Maybe I'll do another drawer. And I went to the second drawer and did it. Some things go in the box, a few go back in. Wow, that was kind of easy. I'm getting supernatural help from God. But I had to start. And 6 drawers. In one night, I went through all 6 drawers. And you might think, that is stupid. That was just a few minutes. Yeah, but it was big to me when it seemed like my whole world. You know, with Pastor Sandy, so much is involved in just taking care of her, and she's getting better and better and better. But that was my world. Previously, I might have said, boy, the top drawer of my dresser really needs organizing, hinting to her that she should do it. But that wasn't an option anymore, so I've had to grow up some. But I looked to God for help for something as stupid and as small as that. And He helped me. But I had to come to the moment where I emptied the drawer and started. Once I started, He helped. Now, it may not be a drawer with socks and t-shirts in it, whatever it is in your life, but you've got to start, and He will help. He's the helper, not the doer. Amen. That's really important. So he's the helper, not the doer. He can only help us to order our world. He is the power that works with the Word of God, but that Word of God must be spoken by a believer on the earth. You want the supernatural power of God to be moving, He will help us, but we have to initiate and speak the Word. If He's the power of God that heals, it would be us that would pray or lay hands on the sick and say, I call the power of God into this body in Jesus' name. We start that. Because, you know, you've heard people say this, well, if God wants everybody healed, why don't He just do it? He needs a man or a woman that He can help. They initiate, they start, they believe for it. That woman with the issue of blood that I referenced earlier in the service, you know, what would have happened if she never would have touched His garment? She would eventually pass away with that condition, whatever it was. Never would have happened. The power met her when she reached out and touched it, started. He's our helper. He's your helper. He's ready to help with large or small. You got a drawer that needs to be gone through? The helper will help you with that drawer. Then you'll find out that goes so good, He'll help you with a second drawer. And so we've got a long ways to go around my place, but some of it, like, there's so much that I've hired some people. But my landscaping, so I've got a couple of ladies going through, all through the landscaping. And oh, what a difference. And something happens to you when there's order around you. You start feeling stronger. You start feeling better. You start emotionally feeling stronger. When your world starts getting ordered and the work of the destroyer is being put down, you start looking to new things to accomplish. You start encouraging other people. You start being effective and productive again. And it all starts with a drawer. Amen. Yeah, that don't matter. It does. It does. So He's the helper. I could have gone to that drawer and say, in Jesus' name, laid hands on the socks. And so, in Jesus' name, get organized. Step back. You know, maybe I even felt a good buzz. Whoo! Nothing would happen. Right? But if I say, in Jesus' name, drawer, you're going to get organized. And I start pulling the stuff out. And I start setting some aside and putting just the best back in. It did get organized in Jesus' name. Oh, I don't know about you. Well, I do. We're all the same, basically. When there's order around you, when the world seems right, whew, you are strong. You're a good help to other people. Amen. The destroyer just wants to disorganize your world. When we have from Him the witness of truth, He's the Spirit of truth, and the witness of things to come, He's the revealer of things to come, we are already helped so much, but much more help is available. Let's go to Acts 1:8, please. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Are you powerful? Do you feel powerful? Not every day. You ever feel powerless? Just so helpless and powerless. Well, when we receive the Spirit, we receive the Spirit of power. You shall receive power. Many years ago, my wife and I, we had, I think at the time, two, maybe the third child was just about to be born. But this verse particularly said to me, I need that power. I need the power of God, as we couldn't pay the bills and couldn't feed the kids and all of that stuff. You know, just everything seemed to be in an uproar. We closed a business because we were losing so much money. Everything was wrong. I felt powerless. And when it said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, there is a specific what the power is for listed here, but that's not the only thing the power does for you. I said, I need this power. I need this power. And this is Jesus speaking. He told us we would receive power when the Spirit comes upon us. And you read the following chapters of the book of Acts, and you see exactly what's talked about with the coming of the day of Pentecost and the receiving of the Spirit of power. His anointing and His power comes upon us as we receive Him. Amen. Our lives changed when we got Spirit-filled. Sandy talks about it. She called it the rocket boosters. She got Spirit-filled, and that was like strapping on the rocket boosters. At that time, the space shuttle was in use. You know, they were launching space shuttles, and on the side of that big main tank is those two solid rocket boosters, which maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but once they light them, you can't unlight them. And the reason that they could get so much weight up into space at that time, new technologies emerging, but it required SRBs, solid rocket boosters. When we got Spirit-filled, it's like the Lord put solid rocket boosters on the side of the main tank and lit them dudes, and we took off. We took off. Our lives changed completely and radically, and there was a new power in our lives. It says here to be witnesses, not to go witnessing, to be witnesses. And that was the first thing that happened. We were in a denominational church at the time, you know, didn't believe in the infilling of the Spirit the way describing here, didn't believe in the signs, wonders, gifts of the Spirit, any of that kind of stuff, didn't believe any of that. But we got Spirit-filled, and that power started busting out of us upon other people. And we bore witness to that power, and we bore witness to what the Scripture says, and we became popular and unpopular all at the same time, if you know what I mean. You too. Witness to mom and dad, and sure enough, they fell into it too. Got over here into Jay's family. Jay was in the same church as I. Our lives changed when power came into our lives. Yes, we were in the denominational church, we were laying hands on sick people, and they were getting healed and restored. And not a lot, but we got a few others Spirit-filled as well. And finally, it becomes such a problem, I got called before the elder board and had to answer for myself and all of that. And if you fast forward, it was basically, I'm going to be in rebellion with the church leadership, or I got to shut up. Well, I can't shut up, so I guess I need to move on. Moving on eventually led to, I'm pastoring a church myself. Amen. Power. He's the Spirit of power. He's the Spirit of power. And His power and His anointing come upon us. There is the Spirit within you and the Spirit that comes upon you. In the Old Testament, they could only have the Spirit coming upon them. Samson is an example of that. Perhaps David and some others, kings, prophets, and so on. Working of miracles by the Old Testament prophets was the Spirit of God coming upon them and then manifesting that power. So when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes within us. That's a little bit of a different thing from the Spirit of God coming upon in anointing and power. And sometimes you can sense it coming and coming upon you. What I spoke to Judith was by the Spirit, that coming upon me. So the Spirit of power. 1 John 4:4, please. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We've talked about the destroyer. We've talked about the Spirit of God to reorganize, reorder, bring order to things. Thank God the Spirit of God in us and upon us is greater than the destroyer. There's nothing that He's destroyed that the Spirit of God can't recreate and reorder. Some of us have been through some trouble, some hard times, some difficult things, but there's nothing that God can't reorder and restore. With Pastor Sandy, the enemy came and disorganized, destroyed, disrupted. The Spirit of God, who is greater, can reorganize, can reorder. And these 5-plus years now, we've seen this working. Couldn't talk, now talks. Now talks too much.
Hallelujah.
Couldn't eat, couldn't drink. Now eats too much. Couldn't use her hands. She's taking notes. And by the way, Jennifer, who was taking care of her last week, was kind of surprised, gave her a notepad and so on, just to kind of keep her, you know, a little bit occupied in case she wanders. But she noticed that she's taking notes of what I'm saying. And at least last week, I don't know about right now, Sandy's writing again, was intelligently taking notes of what is being preached. She's not perfect in hand, and Jennifer said that because she would hear me say it and then see Sandy write it, it was then legible or more legible to her. The Spirit of God is greater, and whatever was scrambled can be put back together, unlike Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but the Spirit of God can. And as long as we continue to pursue by faith the word that God has spoken over her, which is He will restore, that means everything that was lost comes back. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Next time you despair, next time you feel down, next time you're facing something and it looks ugly and you don't want to go through it, just remind yourself, the greater one, the better one is on the inside of me. And He is the power of God in manifestation. And it ain't nothing for Him to reorganize this, to reorder this, to put it back together again, to make order out of chaos. Some things involving other people, there's a situation there because that other person may not cooperate. They have a free will too. The destroyer has taken some lives prematurely. And if that person is in the presence of the Lord in heaven, guess what? They ain't coming back and they don't want to come back. So when we say the restorer, the rebuilder, the reorderer, when it involves another person, there's some limitations there. Not limitation on the Spirit of God, but that other person chooses for themselves also. Or somebody just won't reconcile with you. God can reorder your life and put strength back in you even though the other person won't get themselves together. Amen. One of the great mercies of God is to restore love in someone's life who suffered loss of love. A breakup of a relationship or the loss of someone, one of the greatest mercies of God is to reorder, take away the hurt, take away the pain, and in the right time and the right way, bring a new relationship. That is a great mercy of God. That is a great work of God. He's the restorer. He's the rebuilder. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're going to take a second scripture on this same point, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Are you led by the Spirit of God? 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And we'll stop with that much of the verse. The Spirit of God leads. He knows the truth. He knows what's coming. He has all power. He has all revelation. We do well to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. Aren't you so glad there is someone who can lead? Have you ever been in a situation, I just don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. Spirit of God knows the answer. Spirit of God knows where to go. Spirit of God knows what to do. And if we'll turn to Him, He'll lead us. He'll guide us into all truth. He'll answer questions. He'll take us to where we need to go. He'll put us in the right place at the right time and restore order where there was chaos and destruction. So if we'll follow, we are always led into victory. Well, I haven't always been victorious. That may be, but if I always followed the leading of the Spirit, I'd have always been victorious. Some things that don't look like victories are. I submit to you, I just read it again, looking at this area. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tested. Oh boy, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? Who here volunteers? I'm going to go to a great testing, go through a time of great testing. And it was the Spirit of God who led him into it. Why? So that Jesus would be proven and come out successful and victorious. Jesus was led by the Spirit just like you and I are led by the Spirit. The Spirit led him in the wilderness to be tried, to be tested. He will lead us into situations that we won't enjoy and are difficult, but they're situations that will prove us. And you'll come out, as Jesus came out of the wilderness, in the strength and in the anointing of the Spirit of God. And you'll come out of bad situations that could have been the destruction of you, but you follow the leading of God, and it turns into a great victory, and you're proven, and you grow, and you come out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. So if you'll follow the leading of God, you'll still have questions. You'll still need to call on Him. You'll still need to stand by faith. But thank God we can be led and led to victory every time. Yes. There's one more scripture and we're done here this morning. Psalm 46:1. So He's the revealer of things to come. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the power of God. What else did we say here? He's the helper. Amen. I think I want to stay close with the Holy Ghost. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is our point today. If you lack a title, maybe this is wrong place to say it, but I wrote this, a present help. The Spirit of God is my present help. The Spirit of God is no further away than my heart turning towards Him, my thoughts, my words turning towards Him. He is present. He was present when the earth was destroyed and God reorganized. He's present today. And whatever the destroyer would disorganize around me, He is present and He is greater in me, and He's ready to start reorganizing this thing. I have help, and He's close, and He's ready. There's that poem thing that people make plaques and posters and everything, you know. The person sees only one set of footprints on the beach and says, Lord, you know, where were you when I was going through these troubles and so on? And Lord says to him, that's one set of footprints because it's me and I was carrying you. Yes. Amen. 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 You may not always figure all these things out and put it together, but if you'll turn to Him, He'll carry you. Amen. He'll bring you through. He'll help you. And I know there are people here, including myself, I have felt fear and despair and discouragement, and I have had them almost like a creature of some kind, feel like they're crawling up my leg, getting up here and going for my throat. And it's something you can feel. You can be in such fear and despair. And I knew if I let it take hold of my throat, my words, I was going to be in serious trouble. And I put it down in Jesus' name. No, Lord, I speak Your word. Amen. And I'm most specifically speaking about the moment that she died or nearly died, or I'm pretty sure she actually passed away. And maybe that moment when that, you know, the doctors are weird. They try to tell you without telling you. And that moment, here it comes, is going for my words. Words release power. Words release faith. And I went and immediately turned to the Lord and asked for help, asked Him what He says. He told me, and I knew that I'm going to say, well, you know the story, but, you know, I said, Lord, what do You say about this? And He said to me, what have I already said? And then some scriptures that were dear to our hearts, that were in our hearts. I said, You said, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. With long life will I satisfy You, show You my salvation. Maybe two or three other scriptures like that. And then He said to me, well, I'm not changing what I said, are you? That's when help was available to me, but only help, not doing it for me. And in that moment, I said, no, I'm not changing what You said. And I knew that I needed to say what He said. And I spoke those scriptures again for me. From my faith,
yeah, okay.
I suppose, I'm pretty sure, at that moment, her life was saved. And by her testimony, she says she met the Lord. And the Lord said she couldn't die yet. She had to go back, got a lot of people to help. Amen. Whether you know it or not, that's the Spirit of God in action. And I gained that help. Thank God, a very present help in trouble. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's true. Though he is limited in presence now in a glorified human body, by his Spirit, he is not limited in presence. One of the things we didn't say, Spirit of God is everywhere present all at once. Maybe you'd say he's that big. Thank God he's present wherever we go, wherever we are, whatever's happening, whatever's going on, and help is available. Amen? Truth's available. The revealer, the greater one, all these things we talked about, ready for you. Join with me in the coming weeks in stirring this up again, being again acquainted with the work and moving of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes his voice is very subtle, easily jumped past, easily overridden. Pray for that person. Go here. Don't do that. Let's pay attention to the Spirit of God. Let's stir that up again. We say we're a Spirit-filled people. Let's be a Spirit-filled people. When you got the greater one on the inside, come, as they say, hell or high water, amen. Be victorious. We will be victorious. There's a move of God coming. And it's going to be a move of his Spirit. And we need to be ready. Amen. Father, we bless you and thank you for this word today. And may it be received and heard according to each one's need. Father, you work the wonder that's necessary in each person's life by the word when faith is expressed in that word. Just do what you do. I thank you for that now, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all, and we'll see you Sunday.